Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Here's the podcast for Dr. Bill Meyer Live. Enjoy the conversation. Good morning. 38 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Bill Meyer, joined by Scott Sauls. He's the senior pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church in Nashville and the author of the books Jesus Outside the Lines and Befriend. Good morning, Scott. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Bill. Thanks for having me again.
We're in an interesting place in our country right now. It seems that about half of our citizens are encouraged about the change in direction in Washington, D.C. The other half are either scared or very angry that Mr. Trump is our new president. And you wrote an insightful article this week entitled Finding Donald Trump in the Story of Jesus. And you start off by describing Mr. Trump's humanity and really both the positive and the negative qualities that we observe in the man. We observe in all of us. What are some of the characteristics that you describe, Scott?
I assume you're referring to my blog post earlier this week, Finding Donald Trump in the Story of Jesus. That's at scottsauls.com if anybody wants to go there. But the words I used were that he is a frail, fallen, fearfully and wonderfully made and broken and image-bearing and imperfect and talented and sinful and misguided and intelligent and paradoxical man. Whom God in his infinite and sometimes mysterious wisdom decided for his own sovereign purposes, chose to occupy the most powerful office in the world. So he, like everybody else, is a complex man. I suppose that Mr. Trump's complexity is lived a lot more out loud than the average person, but mixed bag, as my wife likes to say.
We all are mixed bags, and and those of us that are followers of Jesus Christ realize every day, hopefully we realize every day, that we are, we're fallible, we're finite, we're limited, we blow it on a regular basis. You know, Paul in Romans 7, the things I want to do, I don't do, the things I don't want to do, I'm doing. And yet for us, for those of us who are in Jesus Christ, what that beautiful promise is in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for us. But it seems like Americans want to either latch on, right? And let's talk about evangelicals for a second, because there's a split in evangelicals. There are some that want to latch on to maybe the policies that they agree with that Donald Trump is putting forward. There are others that want to latch on to all his character flaws, and neither side can really appreciate the other. And you just gave a whole bunch of adjectives that show it is complex, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, I think that should be the appropriate response in a single human being rather than in divided groups of people, where one group is just emphasizing all the laudable positive aspects of a leader and the other side is emphasizing all of the negative, fearful aspects. I think the more honest, realistic people among us, and I think we as Christians have great reason to be honest and realistic for a lot of reasons, we of all people should be both hopeful and cautious or suspect about any leader that God puts in any position, whether you're talking about a politician or a pastor or a business leader or a parent. Every person has their flaws and is impacted by the fall, and every person has potential for good. Even those who don't know the Lord have potential for good. You've got Cyrus, king of Persia, for instance, who was not a believer, but he did a lot of good for the people of Israel, and there was some partnering there. But I think the point of the blog here is, regardless of what our thoughts are about Mr. Trump, we're not allowed to say he's not my president, because to say he's not my president is, in a sense, to say that the Lord is not our God, because Romans 13, in the context of a very oppressive regime under Caesar, Paul says, that we need to submit to and seek to be the best citizens of Rome, and he who resists and rebels against the authority of Rome, resists and rebels against God, who for his own sovereign purposes put that person in that position. And so, you know, and I can hear in one of my ears, you know, Trump fans saying, yeah, that's right. But I guess what I would do is say, have you been feeling and thinking those things the last 8 years? This is certainly not an invitation to gloat if you're in favor of Mr. Trump, especially if you're not being consistent with an administration that you didn't support. But it's also, I guess, a gut check. Should we really put our hope in any human being ultimately? Or should we really fall into deep, deep despair because of any human being put in a position of power? Or is Jesus still on his throne? And does Jesus still hold the hearts of all kings in his hands? And is Jesus still orchestrating history, his story? And I think we need to get back to that, regardless of where, you know, what side we fell on politically in this contentious election cycle. We need to move forward and pray for our new president, hope for a society that flourishes well, that serves the common good, that's good, that's for the good of all people, and not just some. We need to hope for that, regardless of who's in office. And we need to respect the office in the same way that King David, or little shepherd boy David, the young man David, respected the office of King Saul, even though King Saul had a bounty on his head. He refused to insult King Saul, even when he was tempted to do so. He refused to insult the king because God had put him in that place. And he said, I dare not insult the Lord's anointed, even though the Lord's anointed was defying his own office and seeking to finish David off. And so if David has to respect Saul, then we can't run around saying not my president, either about the current president or about the previous one or about future ones.
Great reminder for all of us, Scott. By the way, that blog post at scottsauls.com, I would encourage you to go there and read that. I think it's just got a great balanced approach to how we as Christians need to respond to Donald Trump's presidency. 45 past the hour. We'll take a quick break and be right back with Scott Sauls here on Faith Radio.
Ever had your boss ask you to come into his office for a chat? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. It's awful, that awkward, intimidating stroll into a threatening setting. You know you're there for one reason, criticism. No one likes to hear about failure and letting the boss down. And guess what? It's no different for teens. Parents wonder why kids can't wait to flee the household, to hang out with their friends, or park in front of a computer screen to play video games. Hey, sometimes they're just trying to escape the disapproval they feel from teachers and peers, and parents too. Would your teen see your home as a place of rest, or just another source of criticism? Hey, it's okay to take a break. Lighten up. Your teen will thank you.
Want more parenting tips from Mark Gregston? Go online to parentingtodaysteens.org.
Hi, this is Chip Ingram with Living on the Edge, heard each weekday at 11 a.m. on Faith Radio. You know, through daily Bible teaching, we seek to equip spiritually hungry believers to become mature followers of Christ. And I'm personally thankful for the team at Faith Radio that's committed wholeheartedly to pursuing Christ and to see the values of relevant Bible teaching connect to the people in everyday life. As we partner together, God uses Faith Radio programs like Living on the Edge to bring about life change that leads to transformation of families, of churches, and communities. Your gifts are a vital step towards seeing that happen. Would you consider joining Faith Radio's support team with your monthly gift? How? Simply call 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Or give online at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much, and keep pressing ahead.
Welcome back, 48 past the hour at Faith Radio. It's Bill Meyer with Scott Sauls, senior pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church in Nashville and the author of the books Jesus Outside the Lines and Befriend. And we've been talking about Scott's marvelous blog post at scottsauls.com this week. It's entitled Finding Donald Trump in the Story of Jesus. And Scott, in that piece, you encourage us to pray for the president, but also be willing to speak truth to power when necessary. You remind us to do that respectfully. You cite several biblical examples as our guide. You mentioned before the break David and Saul. What are some other situations in Scripture in which God called people to respectfully challenge authority, and how did they go about doing it?
Well, one example would be, you know, Daniel and his three friends in the book of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar is demanding that they bow down to an idolatrous statue of himself, and the three friends of Daniel refuse because of their faith, just like Daniel refused, you know, to cease his devotion to the Lord when demanded to do so. And they said, you know, King, we must obey God instead of men, and whatever the consequences are for that, we're prepared to accept them. But if you look at the way that they talk to him, they're addressing him by his title, O King. You know, that's an equivalent of calling him Sir. And they just maintain this level of composure and respect. And you know, you see that as well in the book of Acts, when the authorities, you know, insist that the apostles stop preaching in the name of Jesus, and you know that Peter respectfully says, or the apostles respectfully say, you know, far be it from us to obey men rather than God. And you see this with Joseph when he's tempted by Potiphar's wife. You know, I can't sin against the Lord. And then he accepted his consequences, which were very hard consequences of being thrown in prison based on slander and misrepresentation. But in each case, each believer is speaking the truth and refusing to compromise or sell out their convictions and their loyalties to Jesus as their first king. But they're also simultaneously, not in spite of the fact that they're citizens of heaven, but because they're citizens of heaven, seeking to still be the best and most life-giving citizens of the earthly kingdoms, even when the earthly kingdoms were hostile toward their faith. And I think we've gotten really, really far away from that in general in our part of the world. And, we've really been discipled. We've allowed ourselves, many of us, to be discipled by partisan politics instead of being discipled by Scripture and the pictures of dignity and respect, and also speaking truth to power in the context of dignity and respect that the Scriptures not only give us as examples, but command us morally. It's a moral command to show respect for our leaders. It's not an option. And anytime we resist that, we're resisting God, and as we're resisting God, we're also not doing much for our own flourishing or for the good of society. Well, we need to be different. We need to be counterculture in a life-giving way. Show the world a different way.
And it's
a different way to disagree, even.
And that now more than ever, when there are so many in our culture who think badly of evangelicals, what are we really going to be? Salt and light? Are we going to really, be that light on the hill that we're called to be? Let me ask you about something else, Scott, because we just had Martin Luther King Jr. Day, celebrated that a week ago. On one of your recent articles, recent blog posts, you quoted these beautiful words from Dr. King. He said, "The whole concept of the Imago Dei, the image of God, is the idea that all men have something within them that God injected. This gives him a uniqueness. It gives him worth. It gives him dignity. And we must never forget this. There are no gradations in the image of God. Every man, from a treble white to a base black, is significant on God's keyboard, precisely because every man is made in the image of God. One day we will learn that. We will know one day that God made us to live together as brothers and to respect the dignity and worth of every man." And Scott, unfortunately, racial tension is still a very significant issue in our nation. That just really, we saw, unfortunately, that in a lot of its full-blown ungloriousness in the past year or so. You've been very intentional about developing a friendship with an African-American pastor in your city, and I was so inspired when I read this story. Can you tell us about Pastor Ronnie Mitchell?
Well, I can. I would also say that Ronnie is one of many African-American leaders in our community that our church has been just really enriched by having friendship with. We are intentional about those friendships because of how much we have to learn and how much we have to grow and how much perspective can be offered to us from men and women of color and such. And so so I guess the first thing I would do is recommend that your listeners dial in to our podcast at Christ Presbyterian Church in Nashville and do themselves a favor and listen to the sermon that Ronnie Mitchell gave at our Unity service two Sundays ago. It's magnificent. Again, that's if you go to christpres.org, short for Presbyterian, christpres.org, and look in the sermon section, or go to the Christ Presbyterian Church Nashville podcast. 30 minutes, hopefully it'll change your life. It was just a really beautiful message, and it tells the story of our friendship in many ways. But Ronnie is a man who lives in a different part of town, grew up in very different circumstances, economically, ethnically, politically, culturally, and so on. And Ronnie also, is a bivocational pastor. He doesn't have the luxury that I do of being able to devote myself full time to ministry. And he has just taught me so much about what the kingdom of God looks like through the eyes of people groups and communities whose starting point is a place of disadvantage, and whose starting point is a place where they're lagging behind by virtue of the conditions into which they were born. And growing in that understanding helps, I think, somebody like me and the people that I pastor, which is a mostly affluent, mostly Caucasian community here in Nashville, wonderful, lovely people. But it helps us to be aware about how we can partner together with different people groups and cultural representations and ethnicities in order to serve the common good and in order to not just be a church for ourselves, but to be a church for the flourishing of all of our neighbors, because that's the second greatest commandment, is to love all of our neighbors as ourselves. And Ronnie is just, he's taught me what humility looks like. He's taught me what it looks like to storm the gates of heaven in prayer, but also to shed tears over the pain and sorrows of the people that he pastors and that he encounters every single day, the pain that he feels over systems that ensure that minorities and the poor will remain poor and will remain in places of disadvantage, and how those systems sort of enable a continued inequality in terms of opportunity and such. And these are things that the Bible is very, very adamant about. You read the book of Amos, you listen to Jesus' first public sermon, and he's talking about how the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord has anointed him to preach good news to the poor. And so Ronnie has helped us to engage that biblical reality and calling in our discipleship.
Beautiful, Scott. You can find more at scottsauls.com. Scott, thank you for your time today. We appreciate you and your ministry.
Bill, I really appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Dr. Bill Meyer Live. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing any future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend to grow the impact of Faith Radio and Dr. Bill Meyer Live.